Arne Junior, who's living in England, phoned me. And he asked me to break the news to all the different people who should hear immediately. And then I dressed and went round to see Arne and Freyja. And he told me he was waiting on instructions from India to know what to do. So then I went up and met Don Stevens at our centre to break the news to the young people, because we'd arranged a meeting to discuss going to the Dalsham. And I came home, and then Arne phoned me and said he'd had instructions to go to India, but that he didn't want to travel alone. He felt he couldn't, he would feel better with someone travelling with him. And he said, I want Don Stevens to go with me. Can you trace him? And I'll give you my flight number, which he did. And I tried everywhere to trace Don and couldn't. And in talking to Barbara Lovell, she said to me, have you thought of going? So I said, no, I hadn't. And then suddenly something came over me, and I thought, I must go for some reason. I've got to go. But I've only got £3 in my bag. It's Sunday. And how can I get to the airport? So I said to her, can you possibly get someone to take me to the airport? And she said, I'm sure I can. I'll phone you back. In the meantime, I took out a little suitcase like that and put a couple dresses in. And I had my passport and checkbook, and I had enough money in the bank to meet a ticket, because I was preparing to go to the Dalsham. And then she phoned back and said that someone would come and take me to the airport. So I didn't tell anyone what was happening. I just left a note to my family to say I'd gone to India. So I went, got in the car. When we arrived at the airport, they wouldn't take my check. They said they'd had a lot of dump checks and they couldn't possibly. So I thought, well, I've done my best. What can I do? In the meantime, Arne was called and was going up the passage. And Freyja said, I'll have one last try. She said, my brother works for Air India. I'm sure this lady's check is all right. And he said, I'll go and try and get. So he came back and he said, that's all right. If your husband signs a guarantee, we'll give her a ticket. So I gave my check and they took the thing and Arne signed the guarantee. I just had time to throw myself in the van and we went off. So no one knew I was coming. And of course it was marvelous for me that I'd managed to get there. But the real thing is that I had no idea, I was told this quite a time after, that Barbara had said, Delia will be with me at the end. And then I just knew that something impelled me to go when I had no intentions of going.
Can you tell us anything about that week?
Well, there were several men from the West, but I was the only woman, actually. And I felt so happy to be with Mehra and Marnie. You know, they were so glad that someone had managed to get out. And I went every day with them. And in a way, although there was great grief, yet it wasn't too solemn, because Baba had requested not funeral orations, but to have the gift of beginning. It was, he told Erich to play it from Meherazad to Meherabad, and the girls were singing it. And I was there a week, and then we were told we should go back. And I travelled back with Harry Kenmore, actually. The same thing happened to so many people. They came with practically no clothes. They just rushed, and I had to borrow a sari from Rilu. And other people had the same experience. They just came.
Did you find it difficult to be near Baba's body at that time?
What?
Did you find it difficult to be near Baba's body?
Yes.
Children here, do you have any thoughts about them growing up within a Baba family?
Oh dear. I'm delighted there's so many children. I advise marriage for everybody. I think that's marvelous for them all to grow up here because they are the future. And they're growing up in this atmosphere, which is quite fantastic. It's the children, really. What's happening in England, I don't know if it's happening here, but they're not being taught. They're doing away with religion in the schools. And there's a lot of trouble with the teachers. And in a way, I think the children are suffering, and also from broken homes. There are a lot of cases of delinquent children from 5, 6, 7, 8 in England. I don't know if it's the same here. Is it or not? The mothers go one way, the fathers go the other. They're not being taught discipline in the schools or religion. And it's very peculiar what's happening. So perhaps a school could be started here. A couple of teachers could come here and start a real Baba school.
Will ever reopen Oceanic and perhaps make any more Baba films?
Not in the way it was. I think he will do different work for Baba. You can't go backwards in time. Perhaps that was before its time. And Peter did not get the support and cooperation he should have got. I supported him, the Americans supported him, Elizabeth. In India they did, Ardi came out and opened, dedicated the place. The tree is still there, the dedication, and it's still marked Mahababa Oceanic. But I don't really think that Peter could open it again in that way. Perhaps in some other way it could become a center for musicians, but in the spiritual sense, because Peter is a very spiritual person.
You could mention that you've just purchased the center. You could mention we've just purchased the center in London. Well,
what's that got to do?
Well, we have already. we now have a centre in which we purchased among ourselves.
And it's very here. The building is 10 minutes away from where Baba first stayed. It is your centre, quite near where I lived before. So that was, he was still in that same atmosphere that I was. He died.
Well,
you remember one song?
Yes, what year was the film made that we just saw?
What year was the film made by Peter?
It was ready for the opening in 1976. It took some time to make because it nearly fell by the wayside. And then I said to Pete, if you're really going to do it, you must get down to it. And he wrote the scenario and did everything, really. I think it could have been tightened up a bit, seen it again, but he did the best he could, and he wanted it mainly for young people coming to Barbara, that it might just explain a bit, and the fact that not only Peter, but there was Ronnie Lane of the Faces, Billy Nichols, a whole group of Barbara, you know, musicians, and there were quite a number of painters, and I think that was his real desire. But from my view, his Pavardica is one of the most moving Barbara films, to me, anyway.
Did they ever show it on public television in England?
No. Very difficult to get anything like that in England. You see, you can't pay for these things. Peter did give a program which relayed, and at the back you saw Barbara photographs. Well, I would really once again like to say that I'm really very happy that I was able to make this trip. And again, I've been enveloped in the feeling of love that's come from all the American Barbara lovers that I've met since I landed in America. Thank you. As this is my last evening here, I felt I would like to say again how deeply touched I have been at the welcome and love that has been given to me in America. Of course, it was the lure of coming to Myrtle Beach that made me accept the invitation to be at the Sir Harvest of the Northeast New York group. And of course, also because two of the English group offered to come and look after me. I must admit that they were very considerate of the frailties of an old lady at the Sir Harvest. I feel such a strong link with Myrtle Beach because I was here for the opening. And I saw that marvelous gathering in the barn with Elizabeth Patterson sitting by Barbara, who was welcoming all these hundreds of people who had been waiting all those years to meet him. And it was a wonderful time. And then, of course, came the accident. And Barbara had always said that the spiritual revival would take place in America. And I feel this strong sense of this awakening that's taking place here in Myrtle Beach. Apart from the center, the wonderful activities that are all round, and also I've heard that all these families living here are also now part of what is happening. I've really been astounded at the work that Jane and Kitty are doing. I've never seen anything like it, because Kitty is at the phone. She's the first up in the morning and at the phone all day long, and she never stops, even late at night. I quite understand why she told Barbara at Nartic that I hadn't done my work. I thought I told you all about my meeting with Barbara, but apparently I haven't. So where is Jeff? Oh, now would you tell me exactly what you want me to say?
Well, if you could tell, like, what you were doing before you heard of Baba, and
yes, wait a minute. I was in partnership with my brother and sister-in-law from about 1925-26, running an experimental theatre at the foot of Kew Bridge, and that's where Baba actually visited that theatre twice when he came over to England. We were having our ups and downs, and it was about a down period in 1931 when I was going abroad, and then everything seemed to fall to pieces. And I saw a letter in a weekly magazine called Everyman, which strangely enough was edited by Charles Purdom, who later wrote Baba's Life. In that letter, it was signed Meredith Starr, and in that letter, this man said he had meditated all his life, and that he'd lately come back from India, where he'd been for 6 months at the ashram of a perfect master. He did not mention Baba's name, and that this master said that he would guide him to where he was to open a retreat for him, and that at the right moment he would come to the West. I cut that out and put it away, and then suddenly I opened the drawer and saw this, and I had this strong feeling, this is where I am going. This was August 1931, and I wrote to Meredith Starr, and I went down there. And actually, it was an old farmhouse at the top of a hill in North Devon, called East Charlecombe. And the first person I saw as I opened the gate was Margaret Crust. And of course, we've been friends ever since and been through all these various episodes with Baba, although I didn't have that long period in India that Kitty and Margaret had. Well, while I was there, came this cable from Baba that he was leaving for the West. Now, I could not stay for Baba till Baba arrived. So I came back to London, and I said I would go back again. But as usual, Baba, instead of staying a year, as he promised, after about 10 days, decided to come to London and stay at Kitty Davis' house. And an appointment had been made for me to meet him there. But the evening before, I got a phone call to say Baba had requested to go to the theatre. And Margaret had booked a box for a musical comedy called White Horse Inn. And would I come there and be the surprise for Baba? So that was really my first meeting with Baba. By the time I was taken into the box, they'd taken off Baba's hat and his overcoat, and he was sitting there with his hair flowing and looking very beautiful. But I felt rather shy, and I really always pictured meeting a perfect master as a rather holy, not gloomy, but in a different way, you know, that it would be not at a theatre. So perhaps that was my first little test from Barbara. And also it might have been because at that time I was connected with the theatre that he used that as a sort of vehicle for his work. I heard Barbara chuckling, because in those days he did chuckle. He hadn't gone into this intense, complete silence. And there was a fat man who was a comedian, and it was a jolly musical show. So I realized that Barbara had a sense of humor, and that he liked fat men and comedians. At the end of the play, I said, "Barbara, I must see you again." And after that, every day I went up to see Barbara. Actually, the first thing he said to me after he embraced me, and then I wept, and he said, "It is not chance that brings you here." And then I saw him every day until he left to come to America. He then told us also, he started telling us about the film he wanted to produce, and a perfect boy he would like to find, and when he found that boy, he would speak. But this went on all through the years of the perfect boy, and various people brought boys to Barbara, including Kitty, when we were in Cannes, who brought one perfectly hideous boy with squint eyes. And Barbara took one look at him and patted him, and I think sent him back the next day. Now, if you have any questions you would like to ask, I'll see if I can answer. Does that satisfy you?
Any questions that anyone has to ask, feel free.
When Barbara asks you to stick up for yourself...
Oh, stick up for myself.
What is the difference between sticking up for yourself and being selfish?
Oh, I think there's a world of... He didn't ask me to stick up for myself exactly. He asked me to fight. He said, "Why didn't you fight her?" Because that person had put me in a position that she shouldn't have, and Barbara wanted me not to give in all the time. So he said, "Why didn't you fight her?" And I still didn't realize, and I said, "Oh, it would be so unpleasant, Barbara. We're only here for a short time." And then he said, "I will do it for you this time," and he did. And I remember that each time someone had tried to domineer me in a way that I felt was not right, I then thought of Barbara saying that I should put up a fight. That is different, isn't it? Does that answer your question? What do you think, Jane? God always put me against very people with very strong personalities and rather tall and domineering, which this woman was. Well, I don't mind telling you her name, because she was a wonderful disciple and did marvelous work for Barbara. I think Lynn has a question. Oh, I thought, you asked me what Barbara did when we had an upheaval, I thought, the other day, which I didn't answer.
Oh, yes, I asked you, and you didn't answer that question. And then I forgot the question.
I have told this story before, but I don't think here. In 1956, The English group were completely at loggerheads. We were all blaming each other for failure and everything. Baba came, and we had the cheek to say to him, "Baba, would you preside at our committee meeting?" And he said, "Yes." So there was Charles Purdom, Willie Mary Beckett, myself, and one or two others. And Baba let us just hit at each other. We just said everything that we felt. And he looked at us, and then he said, "Come back in a couple of hours, and I will give you my ruling." He came back, and he did give a ruling. I won't go into that now, because it's rather technical. At that time, we were called the Universal Spiritual League of Great Britain. We were supposed to work in conjunction with America, because that was Elizabeth had founded the Universal Spiritual League of America. And then Baba gave this ruling, and he looked at us, and then he said, "The strange thing is that Delia does love Will." And I was just about to say, "I don't at all, Baba," when I saw Baba do that. And I couldn't say a word. And strangely enough, after that, we were able to work together. And then Baba gave us a lecture, and he made us join hands, and he gave us some money. And he said, "This is your last chance." And then he said, "This sort of thing happened in India, and I want you all to read what Baba what means by real work." So we had to circulate that so that we could understand how Baba wanted us to work, which really was that we must give and take, and we must work in cooperation. But that was a lesson to me, that I knew what Baba didn't want me to have rancor in my heart. Does that answer your question?
When you travel to see Baba on a plane or any plane, was there any trouble?
No, I don't think so. Never? I'm not a good plane traveler. I don't like it, but no, I've never had any trouble. The only thing, going to the entombment with Arnie Jr., when we got to Russia, I fell off the plane, and the stone said I hit my right hip. And that was a hip, really, that developed after that. I had to have the operation. So I took it that that was something from Baba, really, because it happened going out to India.
And where was that?
Which airport?
Huh?
Which airport?
The airport in Russia.
Was it Moscow? Moscow, probably.
Oh, yes, Moscow. I'm not sure now. But anyway, as we got down, and it was very weird, the atmosphere there, very strange, just soldiers marching up and down. I said, "Auntie, let's go back quickly on the plane." They left in Russia as a punishment.
I've read in Purdom's book that Baba was considered a bit of an actor. From your standpoint, as someone in the theater, what do you think of Baba as an actor?
Charles Purdom considered Baba a bit of an actor in his book. What do you think, as your stand as an actress, as Baba?
I don't know what you mean by a bit of an actor. Baba was a consummate everything, an actor, dancer, musician. He could be anything he wanted to be at a given moment. When he wanted to sad for a purpose or laughful. That sounds as if it's not quite the way Charles Spurgeon put it, I'm sure.
It was about his emotional expression that he could put on.
Yes, but I don't remember that Charles put it that way.
Well, he wants to know how you feel about it as an actress.
I think Barbara was a consummate everything, and that's all I have to say.
Well, did Barbara ever show you his pleasure or a great happiness that he thought he was acting at the time?
Did Barbara ever show great pleasure or displeasure which you thought was acting?
Which I thought was acting. I didn't think really along those lines, because it seemed to me so real. When Barbara looked sad, you felt he really was sad. When you felt he was in pain. When he laughed, you felt he was happy. And I didn't think that way at all, really. What would you say?
Agree with you. Julia, your relationship to father, did it change after you got the physical body?
Did your relationship to Baba change after he dropped his physical body?
Yes, in a way, yes.
Could you say anything?
I feel now perhaps it's harder. Because it was always the, I know Barbara kept saying, what you see, this isn't the real Barbara, this is just an overcoat I've put on. And then he did impress on us that wasn't the real thing, and that he would withdraw. He did, gradually. And there were periods when each of us had to go through this, that he completely ignored us. And then there were no letters. We weren't allowed to get in touch with him at all. Except someone was seriously ill and you could send a cable. But I think now we've got to find the Baba that's within us, the real Baba, who's always here and available for each one of us. And this was what he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them, just as Jesus said. I'm sure he's here.
What was your perception of Barbara when you first met him, and did it change as time passed?
Did what?
And did it change as time passed, as you got to know him?
Yes, it did change, because I felt my faith and love increased. I loved Barbara and believed in him right from the start and offered my life to him, but it did change, yes. I perhaps got to understand a bit more of what he was suffering and what the whole descent meant. I would like to just, if I could remember, quote some lines that Baba liked so much that he wrote them back. And they are by a disciple of St. Francis of Assisi. 'Tis in vain the bars to beat effort and struggle are vain. If he offer thee his embrace, run his caress to meet. If not, his withholding is sweet. If thou hast served him well, offered him all that was thine, loved only the divine, he never will part from thee, ever in him wilt thou dwell. I think we should stop on that note there. Unless there's something.
Can somebody just ask me here?
Oh. Oh, yes.